Brian Cashman, the New York Yankees have made it happen. Juan Soto is officially a member of the New York Yankees. We're going to talk about the Yankees' big week in Nashville and much more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It has been a while, but we are back. A new season of the show is here. We are kicking it off in off-season style, and the New York Yankees made a huge splash to end the winter meetings. They have acquired Juan Soto from the San Diego Padres. We're going to get very deep into that trade and more. Plus the Alex Verdugo trade between the Yankees and the Red Sox. Man, you have to be excited if you're a Yankee fan, especially after last year where the Yankees were 82-80, a very unacceptable year, not to the Yankee standard. And over the last couple of years, you felt like the Yankees lost that normal kind of feeling you've had about them in regards to, like, they are the New York Yankees, and you didn't feel that way, especially with other teams going out and spending big money on free agents and making big moves. The Yankees, as Zach Britton perfectly put a couple of weeks back in an article with The Athletic, nobody feared the Yankees like they used to. I remember growing up, and again, I talk about it all the time on the show, how I was spoiled growing up because the Yankees won every year. They were champions in 96, 97 they should have won, 98, 99, 2000 they won the World Series, 2001 they went and they lost. And then they went again in 2003. Not many kids can say they grew up in that kind of era, and I was lucky to do that. But you kind of lost that feeling of other teams being intimidated by the Yankees and players wanting to put the pinstripes on. And you kind of lost that lore, but it looks like the Yankees are finally saying, you know what, let's get back to that MO and let's get back to being that dominant team, not only in the American League East and the American League, but in the league as a whole. And getting a guy like Juan Soto is a big, big-time move. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. We want to go in timeline order here. And I got to tell you, I was at Madison Square Garden, North Carolina, at UConn, and I'm sitting there in the first half, and I get the notification that the Yankees made a trade with the Boston Red Sox for Alex Verdugo. The Yankees give up three minor league pitchers. Greg Weiser is probably the biggest name of the three. And the Yankees have been tied to Verdugo for quite some time now. You go back to the trading deadline where there was speculation the Yankees could trade Gleyber Torres for Verdugo. Fortunately, that was not the case. They didn't have to give up Gleyber for him. I don't know about this move, to be quite honest with you. I really, at first, didn't like it in terms of, I don't really want Verdugo to be the Yankee center fielder every day. And that's what I originally thought, especially with Dominguez being out. But it makes sense in terms of he's a good outfielder. They'll probably put him in left field given the new circumstances. And he's a guy that I do think could benefit from playing in Yankee Stadium. He's a big doubles guy. A lot of those doubles could turn into home runs playing in Yankee Stadium, a lot smaller than in Fenway Park. I just don't know if that was the right answer to get a left-handed bat in that Yankees outfield. Now, of course, the Yankees covet him for some reason. There's got to be some underlying thing that they see in him that makes sense. But I think in a low risk type of high reward type of deal, Verdugo comes with 1 year of control left. You know, if it doesn't work out, he's a free agent. If it does work out, you look like geniuses. I just don't know if that would have been the guy that I would have got to fill that outfield void. I think they would have been a little better off getting a true center fielder or getting somebody who they feel could play in left field. Let's remember, Yankee Stadium's left field is probably the hardest position to play within that outfield. But you know what? I'm willing to give it a chance. The Yankees seem to think that it's a good fit. Who knows? Maybe they do flip him in another deal for pitching or for something else, and they have something else up their sleeve. But we'll have to wait and see. The early thoughts on it, I don't like it. You know, I've never been a big Verdugo fan. Maybe it's because he was wearing a Red Sox uniform and you grow to hate him, but in the long run you hope it works out, because an outfield of Verdugo, Judge, and Soto could be a very lethal one for the New York Yankees. And now Of course, I don't want to rush to the Soto news, but that's the news that really is exciting everybody. They are back to being that team that's willing to go out and make a big splash. A huge one at that. They acquire 3-time All-Star, 4-time Silver Slugger, batting title champion, 2009 World Series champion, and he's only 25 years old. Juan Soto coming off a year. He hit 275, 35 homers, 109 RBIs for the Padres. This guy is an elite talent. Michael Kay said it best on the YES Network on his radio show on Wednesday afternoon. Juan Soto is on track to be a Hall of Famer. That's the kind of player he's been at such a young age. The move makes a ton of sense for the Yankees. Number one, there is no prospect that you can honestly say, I will not give him up for Juan Soto. Yes, Dominguez is a great prospect, but you hope that he turns out to be half of Juan Soto. The only guy that I really wouldn't have traded in this whole thing is Volpe, just because of the fact that he secured the shortstop spot, and I really didn't want to go through that mess again. But given what the Yankees gave up, number one, you could tell San Diego had to cut salary. Let's remember, they took out some kind of loan. I'm not going to get into the financials of it, but they had to cut salary to get under a threshold. Soto was the obvious guy to go. Big contract, no trade clause. The other guys they have under contract all have no trade clauses, so it's going to be very difficult to get those guys out of town. And Soto's a very marketable guy. You could get a lot back. And what the Padres were looking for in a deal for Soto was young pitching, what the Yankees have a surplus of. A lot of people are upset. How could you trade away Michael King? Let's remember, Michael King is a year removed from a massive elbow surgery. Yes, he's a very good pitcher. A guy that, you know, started to develop into a starter toward the end of the year. A guy that many Yankee fans thought would actually be a part of their starting rotation heading into 2024. But you have to also remember this factor. Number one, Juan Soto's on the other side of the trade. That's the biggest thing. If they want Michael King as a headliner, you're going to drive Michael King to San Diego. Number two, Michael King only has 1 year of control left. So if you're the Yankees, you could just sign him next year if you like him that much. You could see what he does as a starter in San Diego. San Diego has this problem with money. They're not going to be able to sign him next year. It's not going to change overnight. So you could bring Michael King back if you're that infatuated with him. So that's the first thing. Then you look at some of the prospects. Drew Thorpe. There is so many people that are high on Drew Thorpe, and I'm one of them. I think he's got great stuff. But let's not take away from the fact that he is a guy that throws 92 miles per hour. How does that translate in the big leagues when these guys who see 99 to 100 are now seeing 92. That's a big difference. And that's something that he might struggle with, especially as he develops over time. You don't know what Drew Thorpe is going to be when he gets to the big league level. The Yankees would not trade Davey Garcia. Look what happened with him. You don't even hear about that guy anymore. Last I heard, he was with the White Sox. So there is something that you have to think about in terms of what you're getting and what you're giving back and what you're giving away. And the Yankees, those two guys are big names. You're going to, you know, look at them and be like, you know, that's a pretty steep price. And then you throw in guys like Johnny Brito and Randy Vasquez, who we saw a little bit of during the 2023 season. But let's be honest. Did anybody expect either one of those guys to compete for a starting rotation spot this year? Yeah, they had their ups and downs and they had their opportunities, but they didn't really show you any flashes of dominance. They didn't really show you any flashes of, you know what, I need to keep this guy. And then they threw in Kyle Higashioka because the Padres need catching. Higashioka's loved by many Yankee fans because of the whole story. You know, he was with the Yankees organization for so long and he caught a no-hitter in a perfect game and all that. But let's also put into consideration the fact that this guy's like a 210 hitter. He's really not going to give you much offensively. Yeah, he's got some power, but it's scarce. So if you're the Yankees, and you also get Trent Grisham back, who's a Gold Glove winner 2 times as your fourth outfielder. Yeah, Grisham has struggled with the bat, but put him in Yankee Stadium, see how that works out. If you're the Yankees, this is a no-brainer, and you run to the table and you take this deal. There's a lot of doubt with Soto in terms of him signing an extension. Yeah, he's probably going to go to free agency, but you mean to tell me that if the Yankees win a World Series and Soto's loved by the fan base and he grows to love New York, which they already say he does, you mean to tell me that he won't come back and he won't sign long-term? Hitting behind Aaron Judge isn't something that is going to entice him, or hitting in front of Aaron Judge for that matter. You could either go either way. For the Yankees, they had to do this move, especially coming off a year where they tried to sell us Willie Calhoun, Jake Bowers, Billy McKinney. They tried to sell us these guys in the outfield that really had no business being on a big league roster. It's an absolute joke. But now you look at this team as it is in the early part of December, and yeah, there's still a lot of time left in the offseason for things to happen. But you look at the outfield and you have Juan Soto in right field, who has the makings of hitting 45 homers in Yankee Stadium. Aaron Judge in center field, and you just hope he stays healthy. That's probably the biggest question mark that you're going to see. And Alex Verdugo in left field, who you hope could be a 250 to 275 hitter and can put the ball in play and play good defense. That's a much better outfield than what they were throwing out last year. And then you have Grisham, who could come in late in games and provide you defense and stability. This Yankees team looks a lot better right now on paper than they did last week. Yes, there's a lot of concerns about Anthony Rizzo coming back from injury. Giancarlo Stanton, I would love to dump his contract, but it's not going to happen. You hope that he could be a contributor at least 4 to 5 days a week. The rest of the team looks pretty solidified. They've come out and they've said second base, shortstop, and third base are all in place. LeMahieu's going to play third. Hopefully he stays healthy. He had some regression last year. Volpe at short and Gleyber Torres at second. They probably need a backup infielder unless you go with Peraza and Cabrera and stick with the youth there. You know, they might try to get somebody who can play multiple positions and continue to be a presence with the bat. You know, Cabrera struggled offensively. But you look at the offensive side of the ball and you add Soto and your lineup's a lot better. There's a lot of different mixes that you can use. You could have Judge hitting second. You could have Soto hitting second. There are so many different scenarios and it gives you a lot more flexibility. And you're basically saying that you're putting all your chips in the basket for this year. You're going for it in 2024. And what's next? The Yankees need starting pitching. They're going to make a big push for Yamamoto. They are meeting with him next week. He's coming to New York. Brian Cashman does not travel to Japan for just anybody. He traveled there to see Yamamoto. The Yankees are heavily invested in landing this guy. 25 years old. What a resume he's got. They want to pair him with Gerrit Cole and hopefully a bounce back Carlos Rodon. Because then you go into the season with Cole, Yamamoto, Rodon, Cortez, and whoever you want as your five. Clark Schmidt, Frankie Montas, if you bring him back. That's a very solidified starting rotation. And that's what the Yankees need to do next. That has to be the priority. You got Soto. You're telling the world we're the New York Yankees again. We're putting it all on the line for 2024. Let's go get another ace. And then, of course, you know, the Yankees have been really good at finding bullpen arms. Some under-the-radar guys that have stepped up. So, you know, you use some of your minor league talent that you haven't traded away. Yes, you're trading away prospects. Oh, my goodness, we gave away so many prospects in these two trades. What have prospects done? Let's be real. Other than Aaron Judge and Anthony Volpe, what have the Yankees really developed? And I could go back 20 years. You know, I heard they wouldn't trade Phil Hughes. They wouldn't trade Ian Kennedy. And that just bit him in the butt. Prospects are suspect until they prove it at the big league level. And if you can't prove it at the big league level, you lose all your trade value. So while they have the value, the Yankees felt that it was an acceptable price and they are going all out. And you have to love it because there's actually a sense of them wanting to compete. I haven't felt them wanting to compete in probably 3 years. And as a Yankee fan, it's very frustrating to see that because Aaron Judge is in his prime. Gerrit Cole is on the back end of his prime. Who knows how long Cole's going to be dominant? had a Cy Young season. The Yankees won 82 games. That's insane. It's actually embarrassing that they wasted such a good year from their ace and a guy that wants to win in New York. So all hands on deck. The Yankees are going for it. 2024 has got to be the year they made that statement. They want to show Juan Soto that New York is his long-term home. But if it's not the case, they hope he comes out, has an MVP type of year, and helps them win a World Series, because then the trade is justified. After that, you know what? If Soto decides, hey, I want to go somewhere else, that's okay. But you got your World Series, and that would mean the Yankees win the trade. So a lot of good things happening in Yankee land. It really is. You know, you finally get that sense they're starting to push to be better. That 82 and 80 season, I think the fans really got into the ear of Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner. And I think that they're really panicking, that the fans are getting upset over it, because the fans expect higher expectations. George Steinbrenner is currently smiling down at the Yankees organization today, because this is a move that he would make. And what he's probably saying, and I don't want to quote him, he's probably saying, go get Yamamoto too. Let's go all out on this offseason. That's going to wrap up our first episode of the offseason for the Pinstripe Talk podcast. It feels really good to be back with you guys. I really missed it. You know, been rather busy with life and everything else going on, and talking about the Yankees just made my stress levels go up for a while there. But hey, we're back, and hopefully we'll be back with some more good news over the next couple of weeks. That's going to wrap it up. My name is Nick Delahanty. Make sure you stay tuned for all the latest news and information regarding our show, and we'll be back in the very near future. Until then, we'll talk to you really soon, and as always, let's go Yankees.